1-800-246-2445, and we'll see you February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. here at KHNC 1368.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and hopefully our guest this morning is Colonel Ron Ray. Colonel Ray, are you there?
I am, Stan. Good morning.
You go. Colonel Ray, of course, is a former Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan administration and was appointed to a presidential commission to investigate whether or not we should have open homosexuality in the military, allow females in combat in the military. And there was a tremendous drive during the 1990s to accomplish that goal. Colonel Ray really is working full-time now, trying to do whatever he can to try to preserve prayer in the military, because there really is a conspiracy against God. There is an effort to destroy Christianity in this country, but of course if you destroy the religious foundation of our military, you destroy our military. Our military has always been different than other militaries because our people believed in God, but there is a conscious effort to do away with that at our military academies and certainly within the military itself. In fact, a naval chaplain was discharged from the military because he prayed in the name of, oh, horrors, Jesus Christ, when he was leading group prayer. Well, we need to understand that there is a drive for a new world order, a new world religion, and a new world leader. That's the common denominator behind everything going on. And what Colonel Ray is doing as far as trying to focus our attention on the attack on the religious foundation of the military is vitally important if we hope to preserve the defenses of America. And with that as a background, Colonel, what are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, it's a good introduction, Stan. It's always good to talk to you. You know, it seems to me that the military back in the 1770s and early 1780s was the institution. Congress was on the run. There was no American institution but the Continental Army and the small Continental Navy. And those first principles that were written for the Continental Army and the Continental Navy is the last American public institution that have those biblical foundation still intact in Title X, which governs the military forces. In other words, my concentration has been, while you should cry restore in so many of our laws and civil government and public institutions and finances and whatnot have been subject to undemocratic change for decades, as you have so well documented in your many, many, many years of distributing information, historical information that's politically incorrect today. But the military, and most people don't understand this, in 2003 and 2004, the Pentagon did a survey among those in the military, asking them, if you have a religious preference, what is it? And it was a wide, far-ranging, obviously, a sample that meets professional standards, and they determined that 98.4% of those who serve in our military today at all ranks profess one of the denominations of Christianity. And so it's an institution that has founding principles intact. It's an institution that draws those, as they used to say, the old wag was, there are no atheists in foxholes. But it surprises many, particularly evangelicals, who have been enthusiastic supporters of this current administration in 2000 and 2004, surprises them to know that there's a conservative publication like the American Spectator which was obviously a strong force during the Clinton years. It comes out and says that, writes an article entitled The Atheist Foxhole, and actually makes a headline in that article that was published about 18 months ago that, why are the Rumsfeld Pentagon's restrictions on prayer greater than Stalin's were in his army in World War II? Now, that's obviously hyperbole to get somebody's attention, but the point is, most I was in a church over in East Tennessee and spoke twice last weekend, you know, and I asked this question: how many of you know that that for 3 weeks, almost a month, but for over 3 weeks, the name of Jesus Christ held up the national defense budget in September of 2006 for over 3 weeks, over the name of whether or not chaplains and leaders could pray as they have prayed since 1774. In the name of Jesus Christ, and they don't know. They didn't hear, and the media monopoly obviously is not going to make that a national story, and the evangelicals are badly misled, as are many conservatives. So the fundamental principle goes back to the farewell address, Stan, and the farewell address, which used to be memorized by school children prior to World War I. And now people don't even know what the farewell address is. But
speaking of George Washington's farewell address?
Yes, and last Friday was his birthday, and although they've now changed it to President's Day, and that means if you take the day off, you have to celebrate scallywags as well as George Washington. But anyway, it was his birthday on the 22nd. It used to be honored as such, and his farewell address was the most important political speech, you know, really in American history. And he said, if you would enjoy political prosperity, and who would not, want to see America enjoy political prosperity, he said the two indispensable supports essentially are Christianity and morality. And so I think that today it might be interesting to talk about a battle that many people don't even see being engaged, not only what's happening to the military, and if you're interested in that, there's some information on our website, firstprinciplespress.org, that I'm a volunteer for, firstprinciplespress.org, but contact me at Colonel Ron Ray, if you'd like to know about the war on the biblical foundations of the American military, please contact me at the P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky, 40014, and I'd be happy to send you some backgrounders on what happened that September of 2006 and what's happening to the first two principles still on the books, under attack. But it seems to me, Stan, that our good friend Dr. Richard Land over at the Southern Baptist Convention, who heads up the Religious Liberty and Ethics Commission and basically is supposed to be the action arm for what some 38 or 40,000, whatever it is, Southern Baptist churches across the nation, has published a book recently in which he says, as both in his review of his own book or his promotion of his own book and in the book, he says America is not now and never was a Christian nation. It's very interesting, all the groups that have supported the removal of Christian prayer are saying the same thing.
And we would like to get into that when we get back. And the part that Ted Haggard played. Pastor Ted Haggard led the 30 million member National Association of Evangelicals in undermining prayer in the military. We'll be right back.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, what a puddle!
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying, or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately. And call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
KHNC presents another Sunday afternoon meet and greet. Come meet the TNT team and try a delicious and refreshing drink of Limu Mui, the Fucoidin-packed health drink. Get your survival supplies and sample some sumptuous Mountain House foods with survival expert Bob Ferris of Ferris Survival. That's Sunday, February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. Call 1-800-205-6245 and we'll see you February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. here at KHNC 1368.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Colonel Ron Ray. I just wanted to just mention that when this vote, this very important vote, came before Congress as to whether or not, you know, we should allow the prayer in the military in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the people that intervened, and correct me if I'm wrong, Colonel, was, Ted Haggard, Pastor Ted Haggard, the man who headed the 30-million-member National Association of Evangelicals, intervened and said, well, you know, really that isn't so important, praying in the name of Jesus. Now, what people at the time in Congress didn't know was that Ted Haggard was a homosexual, dope smoking, cocaine using homosexual, was simply planted at the highest levels of Christianity to undermine the Christian faith here in the United States. And specifically, he used his position, to actually undermine Christianity in the military. And what's really so amazing is when he was outed by one of the homosexuals he had had an affair with and eventually admitted, why, all the Christians are there saying, oh, we should love Ted Haggard. Oh, everybody has weaknesses. Aren't we all sinners? And we're going to put him in treatment so we can rehabilitate him. Well, I think that everybody certainly has to be evaluated. But think of the harm this man has done. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was planted at the highest levels of Christianity to undermine Christianity, and we see this throughout the Christian church today. And until you understand that, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, you cannot understand why so many of our leaders, whether it be the Archbishop of Canterbury or Ted Haggard, are doing what they're doing. But pick up the story there, Colonel.
Well, what you say is generally true. Let everybody know that we collected over 68, 69 prayer books distributed at government expense through every time this country's been at war or in lengthy national emergency. There's been an outpouring of prayer books that were distributed, particularly to our fighting forces, at government expense. And if you look at those, as we did, and did a survey of those and a study of those, and if you'd like that, please contact us, at 1-800-837-0544. 1-800-837-0544, and we'll make it possible for you to get the survey that we did of those prayer books going back to 1774. 80-85% of them in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these are prayers prayed by our leading statesmen, former presidents, flag and general officers, in critical situations. So that in 2006, when the pressure was being brought by the administration, the Bush administration, through its Pentagon under Don Rumsfeld, to put pressure on chaplains not to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and there was controversy going on, the House of Representatives came forward, Duncan Hunter and Walter Jones. Walter Jones, a Catholic from North Carolina, conservative, and Duncan Hunter, from a Baptist from California, and then the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, came forward and introduced legislation which passed the House, and it got to the Senate, and it was an amendment put in the Defense Authorization Act. And when the they call them the Bulls, the Senate and House Armed Services Committee meet, the four of them, the minority and the chairman and the ranking members meet to try to work it out. The Senate was opposed, and to make his point, John Warner wanted a letter from Rumsfeld which said, praying in the name of Jesus Christ is divisive and unnecessary. divisive and unnecessary. And very similar language was used by Ted Haggard in a letter on the National Association, not as a pastor in Colorado Springs, not as an individual Christian, but as a head of a political organization called the National Association of Evangelicals with an office in Washington, D.C., and that letter was held up on the floor of the United States Senate by John Warner, along with Rumsfeld's letter, and they said that a leader of the evangelical movement who's been president for 5 years said it's divisive and unnecessary, and the similar language was used by Donald Rumsfeld, and they held up the whole Defense Authorization Act for over 3 weeks over this provision. The White House stayed on the sidelines, which is support for what was going on. The Pentagon had already been heard from. The U.S. Senate was on the sidelines, except for John Warner leading the fight as chairman then of the House of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And the provision was removed in the conference, was removed from the statute, but left in the conference report, calling on the Air Force and the Navy, which were leading the fight against Christian prayer. Remember, 98.4% of those who have a religious preference expressed in the military by their own study less than 4 years ago determined that that's how the 98.4% were Christians. So this is a sort of a dictatorship by minority and revolutionary principles, particularly in a country that has been held by the Supreme Court four times to be a Christian nation. And that perhaps may be the most important fact of all, and your listeners need to understand that some conservative and concerned Christians have in the last 15 years brought to light the history that's not taught in our schools, not taught in our law schools, the history of the legal foundations of American law and civil government, and basically David Barton deserves a great deal of credit, and there were many others who wrote these histories, and I know you've put his materials out, Stan, as many others have, as we have at First Principles, and I have used it, but the Supreme Court held four times between 1844 and 1931 that America was in law, fact, and history a Christian nation. And more than that, as you come up on leap year, the end of February, the 29th, you might just remember for a moment that perhaps the most important case in the history of the United States on February 29th, 1892, a decision was handed down unanimously by the Supreme Court, authored by Justice David Josiah Brewer, and in which they looked back over a two-year period. The U.S. Supreme Court looked back to 1492, 400 years before. They looked back to the charter from Ferdinand and Isabel of Spain to Christopher Columbus, and they looked at the organic utterances, the official declarations of all of our public institutions in the colonies, in the states, from 1492 to 1892, and held that, citing 66 precedents, and they said these in a mass of organic utterances, there's not a single voice contrary to the notion that this is a religious people and we are in law, fact, and history a Christian nation. In other words, 400 years of official documents, there wasn't one single document to the contrary. And that case was never overturned, and as recently as 1931 they held it, and yet we have leaders in the so-called conservative movement, we have leaders in Christian positions of responsibility that such as Dr. Land in Nashville, Tennessee, who puts out that we never were a Christian nation. And when I saw that, I picked up the phone to call him. As Stan and I both know, Dr. Land from the Council for National Policy and other places, and my repeated calls were not returned. I wrote him a letter, which I emailed, faxed, and mailed to him with the authorities I've just mentioned for him, because if he was in error, I wanted him to correct his error, and I wanted him to make it right under Matthew 18 principles. If you have aught against your brother, you go to your brother. And then I went to some of his colleagues on the board of directors of the Ethics and Religious Liberty, again under Matthew 18 principles of going to your brother, then take witnesses, and they did not respond either. And I've tried to go to other Southern Baptist leaders. So this is the first time I've said that on a national talk radio show, but I just think that people need to know. Ted Haggard, within 3 weeks of making that letter that John Warner held on the Senate floor, was outed for his unsavory personal life, and you can say what you will about his personal life, and if he repents and turns from his wicked ways, it certainly may be possible to restore him to fellowship, but regarding his political actions, Those of you out there will find your church or your denomination is most likely paying money to the National Association of Evangelicals, which stood against the name of Jesus Christ at a moment of crisis in our country's history while we're at war in September of 2006, and you shouldn't be supporting them. You shouldn't give tithes and offerings to a church that's a member of the National Association of Evangelicals. You probably read this more times than I have, Stan, but it always calls to mind Cicero's great declaration in 42 B.C., a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known, and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. But the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their garments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politics so they can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared. Cicero, 14 B.C., 42 B.C.
And why would the Bush administration refused to take a stand on maintaining the Christian standards within our military and allowing, you know, prayer in the name of Jesus Christ? Why didn't President Bush come forward and support Christianity in the military? And we just have to ask that question.
Well, obviously the Declaration of Independence says all legitimate government rests upon the consent of the governed, and it was clear that 86% of the American people want the Ten Commandments up and back in the schools and courthouses again. It's clear that a substantial majority of the American people would like chaplains and Christians in the military and Christian leaders to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the law, by the way. It's still the law. And that we didn't even have to have a law until 1862 when Abraham Lincoln was president, and that is we separate the government of the church from the government of the state. The government will not prescribe who is a pastor or a priest in a church. They will not tell them how to conduct services, and the civil government will not order or tell a pastor who comes to the military as a chaplain how to pray. I mean, that's been the law. But these pressures come insidiously from within, and if Bill Clinton had tried to do this in his administration, and openly, there would have been, because there were those who were watchful, a few watchmen on the walls, and people that distrusted what happened there between 1993 and early 2001. But on this administration came under conservative sheep's clothing, and obviously this is a major agenda. Ran into it in 2001 when I was defending the Virginia Military Institute's right to have a non-Christian prayer prayed daily over meals. And they were attacked by the ACLU, the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and Americans United for Separation in Church and State. So the lawyers, scribes, and Pharisees were coming after a daily prayer at the service academies in 2001 and 2002. Now they're also coming after these groups and other similar well-funded groups are working within and without to leave us. Can you imagine in harm's way our young men and increasingly our young women in harm's way without a prayer? That's where we are. And it takes those that would care to be sure that the judgment begins at the house of God. The error is in the churches, the local churches that have supported these organizations, where they have leaders who would declare against our history as recently as 1931 that America is not a Christian nation. And if it's a Christian nation, obviously 98.4% of those serving in the military professing one form of Christianity or another would be entitled to pray, as the law allows, that they would be entitled to be led in prayer or to pray as the situation might arise, and they would pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, after all, is what defines a Christian prayer.
Well, Christianity is under attack today. It's under attack not only from our enemies without, but from the traitors within. And I think that quotation from Cicero is so...
Well, let me take you back to a great authority, Stan, that your listeners will not have heard. I don't know if I've sent this to you or not, but Dr. Linda Jeffrey, who's a great researcher who came and been with us, PhD, and she's a fine researcher. She found a Time magazine article February 15th, 1954, at a major prayer breakfast held at the Mayflower Hotel on Connecticut Avenue. There were 600 national leaders gathered, including President Eisenhower, Vice President Nixon, the whole cabinet, the Chief Justice and the Justices of the Supreme Court, congressmen, diplomats, and businessmen. They had a sturdy breakfast, according to the Time magazine.
I guess we're out of time. You hang on there. Ron will be back in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray, retired Marine Corps Colonel, and right here.
Remind everyone that the key to locating missing children is getting current information in the hands of your local authorities. Keeping recent photos of your child in hand is a must. Make sure that you know what your child is wearing when they leave home and have your child fingerprinted at an early age, because although children may change, fingerprints don't. That message courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
Everybody with a yard probably has something buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, what a bottle!
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon, Sheldon, wake up!
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best-maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying, or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate, and don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately, and call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Stop living with pain. Discover MagnetiCare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Colonel Ron Ray, retired Marine Corps Colonel. Colonel, before you go on, would you like to get your web page out there so people would know, you know, how to get in touch with you? And then you actually have some great books and other things you put together dealing with this subject.
Well, the website has got some history of prayer on it that's worth looking at, from the VMI prayer case, including on there this summary of the 67 prayer books we found in the Library of Congress from 1774 to the present time. There have been many fewer since the Vietnam War, since 65. There were many, many, every were distributed from the greatest statesmen in the land of all kinds. I mean, even the people like John Foster Dulles, you would be surprised that the prayer that they offered to be distributed to our fighting forces, despite his international agenda, was in the name of Jesus Christ. And similarly, Dean Acheson and people like that. So it is amazing that that you could do that. So the website is firstprinciplespress.org. But we found out years ago that the adversaries are more adversaries of our first principles agenda have been more interested in our website than the evangelicals and the conservatives that don't understand what's going on. In other words, we were having to be cautious what we put up because it was providing a pattern of our campaigns and activities, and obviously secrecy and security is a very important matter. So we try to keep our borders closed here at First Principles instead of wide open to anybody who would come. But it's firstprinciplespress.org, and if you'd like to order some of these materials and make inquiries, don't hesitate to call us at 1-800-837-0544, 1-800-837-0544, or write me at Colonel Ron Ray, care of P.O. Box 1136, Crestwood, Kentucky 40014, and we'd be happy to send you out some materials and some backgrounders about our campaigns that have gone on now for many years to try to once again teach and enforce existing laws on the books in Title X that are the first principles that were written in our founding period. They haven't been removed. So many of our other public institutions and laws have been eradicated. They've been repealed. They've been removed. And you're asking them to be put back, such as what happened with Roe versus Wade. But we're talking about enforcing something. We're just talking about enforcing a law that's still on the books for the American military. Now, Stan, if I could finish this, you'll be surprised to know, who do you think at that prayer breakfast stood up in Washington, D.C. and declared that America's a Christian land governed by Christian principles? The last speaker did, and this is my authority is Time Magazine, Monday, February 15th, 1954, not that long ago, Chief Justice Earl Warren. He was the last speaker who claimed he was raised as a Methodist, now frequently attends Baptist services with his wife, and he said, according to Time Magazine, there at on Connecticut Avenue, just a few blocks from the White House, at this prayer breakfast attended by basically all the national government that was there, "I believe no one can read the history of our country," said Chief Justice Earl Warren, "without realizing that the good book, capital G, capital B, and the spirit of the Savior, capital S, have from the beginning been our guiding geniuses. Whatever documents we look at, the First Charter of Virginia, or the Charter of New England, or the Charter of Massachusetts, or the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, the same object is always present. America is a Christian land governed by Christian principles." And I sent that off to Dr. Richard Land and some others, to which they would not respond. But if they've turned to secular sources, I thought I'd give them Time Magazine as a great secular source to make the very same case that the Supreme Court made four times between 1844 and 1931. If I may, I found also in the same research looking at, we found that, that General MacArthur, a strong Christian, who advocated, when he was asked what prayer he and his wife thought should be distributed to our fighting forces in World War II, he says there's no better prayer than the Lord's Prayer. And President and Mrs. Herbert Hoover agreed, and they were distributed millions of prayer books throughout the theaters in the Mediterranean, North Africa, Europe, and across the Pacific. But perhaps the most interesting, we found a hard-to-find book published by the Office of the U.S. Military Chaplain in the United States Army, recording it called Confidence in Battle, Inspiration in Peace. MacArthur spoke of his training and belief about the spiritual condition of the nation determines the outcome of all wars. And after he liberated Seoul, Korea, with his brilliant strike at Incheon, he was asked to address the South Korean parliament. And he said, "Mr. President, by the grace of a merciful divine providence, our forces have liberated this ancient capital city of Korea." He went on to speak of righteous wrath, referring to a spiritual revulsion against communism. And he concluded his prayer by asking the General Assembly of South Korea to stand up, and he was going to lead them, and did in fact lead them, in the Lord's Prayer. A month later, according to this Army publication in 1977, Chaplain Vernon Jaeger published news of imminent victory, and he basically said, Just as in Japan, so also in Korea, the winning of the war by the Americans and their allies, of course, this was the first Korean War against the North Koreans, which we won. We weren't permitted to win the one in terms of the one against China. The winning of the war by the Americans and their allies caused the people to realize that their way of life was apparently in error. Now they were interested to inquire into Christianity because it seemed that there was a definite link between the American military success as the United States and their deeply held religious beliefs in Christianity that the people of that nation hold. Then he went on to say at the end of the First War, the chief of Korean chaplains addressing the graduating class of the chaplain training school in Korea said, the war has devastated our country but given us spiritual revival. I wonder why that's not taught in the public schools of the United States. Why isn't that taught in our histories and institutions? Why isn't that taught to our chaplains? And why would a man like George W. Bush, masquerading as something he is obviously not, why would the evangelicals in this country not point to this and understand that as recently and in the lifetime of many of you and your listeners, and Stan and I included, these things occurred within our lifetime, and now we're seeing a total reversal of that, and these things are being treated hostily, and we're going to leave our fighting forces. If you want to support our troops, as my friend Jim Kennedy, rest in peace, said, the motto that my wife Eunice put together, support our troops, let them pray.
Beautifully said. But unfortunately, the average American doesn't understand the organized, orchestrated effort at the highest levels of our government to destroy the faith of our people. And specifically of the military, because there's no better way to demoralize the military than to take away their other religious foundations of our fighting men.
That's absolutely true, Stan. And and you can find that throughout our history, leading us right up really to the Vietnam War. It was readily apparent. And talking to my former friend Admiral Tom Moore, chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Nixon, who told me many, many times in our work together when I was assisting him as a retired officer, that was essentially true, and that Admiral Moore had seen it happen hundreds of times in his 50 years of service.
We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this morning's program here in America.
To order your cassette copy of this program, call the American Freedom Network at 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
Did you know there's a 3,000-year-old God-given whole food that's changing lives for the better? Limu mui, a sea vegetable full of a miraculous glyconutrient called fucoidin, considered the mother's milk of the sea for its immune-empowering properties. Drink great-tasting Limu mui, 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces in the evening, and see your lives change for the better. Call 720-299-7525 or 720-299-7520.
Thank you.
back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Colonel Ron Ray, and I just want to put a plug in. Colonel Ray certainly does spend most of his time working on these issues without a payment. But since they do have a research facility, they are gathering information. If any of you are in a position to help his ministry, it's well worthwhile. It's one of the few ministries I could recommend to you without hesitation. Deserves your financial support. So many of the organizations that are out there are simply siphoning off money that should be used to protect our nation, and unfortunately, even within many of our churches, the money is being used to destroy our nation or to support organizations such as those headed by Dr. Richard Land, intent upon convincing the American people that we never were and are not today a Christian nation. Well, we could argue whether we're a Christian nation today, but there's no question that we were founded as by Christians. As a Christian nation, the Supreme Court held on four different occasions we were a Christian nation, and certainly if you go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, we've reproduced the text of that wonderful Supreme Court decision in 1892. That held that America was a Christian nation. So go ahead, Colonel.
Well, I appreciate that, Stan. I mean, so many things that I have done just built upon the materials that you and your ministry have built, gathered, and certainly the Reese Committee reports. In fact, you sent me many years ago after we first met Honorable Congressman Herlong, Jr. of Florida, January 10th, 1963, introduced the current then goals, current communist goals in throughout the world that had come out of Cleon Skousen's wonderful book, The Naked Communist. What their current goals were in 1963 was put into the congressional record, and you gave me a copy of this, and I happened to review it the other day. And goal number 27 was to infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion, discredit the Bible, and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. That's a quote. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in schools on the ground that it violates a principle of separation of church and state, and present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, healthy, and natural. And I went through those 45 goals that were put in the congressional record then, and that Mr. Skousen, former chief of police in Salt Lake City and a lawyer and a former FBI agent, had written in the Naked Communist, and you realize that those goals are either already accomplished or far on their way towards being accomplished. And where's the watchman on the wall? Dr. Stan has been one. I'm one, particularly in Washington. I'm in Washington about once every month or 6 weeks. The watchman on the wall, Ezekiel chapter 33, who sees when he sees the sword coming in judgment. Because miss not these powers and principalities that we are standing against, the evil in high places that we are standing against, they're not the cause. The cause is that America and its churches, judgment begins at the house of God, have turned their back on their first love, on the Savior that even Earl Warren spoke about so boldly in public in 1954 at a national prayer breakfast. And that's where it's got to begin. We need a revival in the churches. We need the churches to turn back and measure what the worship going on there and find the biblical support for all that they do, and be awake and alert and watching. And be watching. And our history is replete with the Christian foundations of this country right down to the present day and the present hour. And there's none so blind as those who will not see. And Stan, I was over in Carol Reese country and weekend before last, and got a chance to
see.
I met men and women over there, older men and women who personally knew Carol Reese and appreciated his work. And when I spoke about it, it cheered him up. And I told him about your getting his wonderful the lawyer's work, Rene Wormser's book, The Foundations of Their Power and Influence. And I recommend that book to be read by all your listeners, not only to support your ministry, but because they can understand by looking at the first 50 years of the 20th century, they can see a pattern unfolding there of subversion and undermining of America's the Christian nation and its institutions.
But you know what I think? What's so amazing about it is that this is the last thing the average American would believe, that the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation would be pushing Marxist concepts and trying to destroy the love which every American should feel for his way of life. Those are the words of B. Carol Reese, Congressman Reese, who investigated the Great Foundations back in 1953 and 54. Most Americans can't understand that the traitors are working at the various highest levels of our government and through our great tax-exempt foundations to destroy this nation.
You're right. And General Omar Bradley, who became Veterans Administration under Harry Truman, he gave a speech which the New York Times reported on October 24, 1946. General Bradley said, "The question of getting the veteran back into the church and congregation is one of the most important facing the country today. Religion, capital R, same word if you look it up in Noah Webster's dictionary, it's essentially Christianity, is the basis upon which we place everything else. And unless we have a solid foundation upon which to work, we may go astray as a nation." Omar Bradley, in a speech that he gave as a Veterans Administrator of the United States, that was recorded in the New York Times, October 24th, 1946, is saying the same thing, essentially the same thing that George Washington said in his farewell address more than two centuries earlier.
And that's exactly why the Supreme Court took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They knew what they were doing. They just can't let the American people know.
Well, the truth is there. Romans 1 says there, they know that I exist. Like the founder said, there's a self-evident truth that there is a creator. They know that I exist. They know that I exist. They have a duty to find me, and if you truly seek me, you will find me. And the fact is, religion in this country, organized religion, particularly in the mega churches, is largely a business plan. It's largely about the church growth movement. It's largely about nickels, noses, and numbers. And the true gospel is rarely preached except, you know, in the smaller churches. People want to have smooth words preached.
Well, we're out of time, Colonel. Thanks so much for being with us. Always look forward to your joining us. God bless, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this morning's program.
Here's your opportunity to learn more about YTB, your travel business. It's a travel party. Monday, February the 25th at 7 p.m. The place is Slotsky's, 4212 South College Avenue in the Hobby Lobby Shopping Center in Fort Collins. There'll be free sandwiches, snacks, and drinks. So that's a YTB travel party Monday, February the 25th at 7 p.m. at Slotsky's, 4212 South College Avenue in Fort Collins.
KHNC presents another Sunday afternoon meet and greet. Come meet the TNT team and try a delicious and refreshing drink of Limu Mui, the Fucoidin-packed health drink. Get your survival supplies and sample some sumptuous Mountain House foods with survival expert Bob Ferris of Ferris Survival. That's Sunday, February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. Call 1-800-205-6245 and we'll see you February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. here at KHNC 1368.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation this morning with Colonel Ray. He talked about the book on the Great Tax Exempt Foundations. It was written back in 1958 by Rennie Wormser, the counsel for the Reese Committee that investigated the Rockefeller, Carnegie, and Ford Foundations and found that they were subversive organizations working to destroy the fabric of our nation. And actually, the Rockefeller Foundation funded Alfred Kinsey's fraudulent, perverted, work on sexuality and financed the books that he wrote about the sexual habits of the American male and female, all aimed at destroying the morality of our nation. That was the Rockefeller Foundation. And the one thing that they feared was the American people would find out and, of course, expose the traitors within the great foundations and, of course, working for the great families of this nation, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie. Well, understand that behind all of this, of course, are the powerful spiritual forces that energized these people. Henry Ford was deeply involved with the occult, as was Andrew Carnegie, as have certain members of the Rockefeller family been in the past and are today deeply involved in the occult. And until you understand the powerful spiritual forces that energize this, you can't understand anything. So let me suggest you get the book, Foundations, the Power and Influence. We've kept the book in print for many years. We republished it at our own expense. Foundations, Their Power and Influence, one of the most important books ever written and actively suppressed by those who would conceal the truth from you. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Or you can get that at a special reduced price by ordering the Tragedy and Hope Special, which includes Professor Quigley's long-suppressed book telling about the secret societies and how they tie into the great tax-exempt foundations. And then, of course, you can get, along with that, the interview with Professor Quigley, who tells you about the secret emblem on the back of the dollar bill. Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, the man who told Bill Clinton about who really runs the world and about the secret society that that controls our nation. Well, that's Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, the foundation, and the interview with Professor Quigley as part of the Tragedy and Hope Special. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. To understand the spiritual forces we face, of course, you need to get our three pamphlet set. It's only $9.95 for all three pamphlets, entitled The Occult Hierarchy. That's The Occult Hierarchy. You'll certainly want to get my interviews with Constance Cumby. It's a four-tape or four-CD set on Constance Cumby. And then the DVD we have with her, where she talks about the emergence, the coming of the new world leader. And excellent. We recommend those. And then, of course, we have the DVD, The Secret History, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings, and then, of course, the sequel, Riddles in Stone, of The Secret Mystery of America's, of the architecture of our nation's capital, because, believe me, there within our nation's capital and engraved in the buildings is the story of the occult influence in America. For there were two forces in America. One was the Christian and the other was the occult. At one time, the Christian was predominant. Today, the occult dominates our courts, our executive, and our legislative branches of government, and even has infiltrated our churches. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. America is attacked today. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. As Colonel Gray says it, pray for ready liberty, for our provision and protection.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com.
KHNC presents another Sunday afternoon meet and greet. Come meet the TNT team and try a delicious and refreshing drink of Limu Mui, the Fukoidan-packed health drink. Get your survival supplies and sample some sumptuous Mountain House foods with survival expert Bob Ferris of Ferris Survival. That's Sunday, February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. Call 1-800-205-6245 and we'll see you February 24th from 1 to 3 p.m. here at KHNC 13.